Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. Following one of the great T20 World Cup matches, it's not ended England's way, it's ended New Zealand's way. We are going to, myself, John Norman and Steve Harmson, look back at a game which went one way then the other. And in the end, one of the least heralded names in world cricket ended up triumphant. Plenty to discuss here on the Following On podcast on a day that England fans will probably want to forget. So, if you're listening, well, you probably know by now, New Zealand will place one of will face one of Australia or Pakistan in the final of the T20 World Cup after a 5-wicket victory, which at the halfway stage of their chase looked a distant dream. England, well, they lost the toss. They had to bat, and they mustered 166 for four. Jos Buttler and Johnny Bairstow, the opening partnership. Bairstow promoted up the order. Sam Billings, who ended up not batting or bowling, obviously, or fielding particularly. The one change after Jason Roy was ruled out of the tournament. Look, it was there were some decent knocks in there, and it looked like it would probably be enough. Milan, 41 from 30. He was given a reprieve early on in his innings. Moeen Ali going past 50, 51 not out at the end. Liam Livingstone, a 10 ball 17, which at the time looked like it might be, a crucial little innings. But unfortunately, there was another crucial little innings of 11 balls. Jimmy Neesham hitting 27, many of them from one Chris Jordan over, just when it looked like New Zealand were, well, they were dead and buried. They lost two early wickets, Guptill and Williamson. They had Mitchell Santner coming in at seven, the untried, really, Phillips, a man in Daryl Mitchell, who at the start of the tournament, very few people would have even expected to play, let alone open. But alongside Conway, rebuilt the innings from there. But even so, with five overs to go, they were miles off. And then, well, an over that Chris Jordan will never look back on with any fondness whatsoever. He was punished, and Mitchell saw the job done from there on in. An incredible game of 2020 cricket. And at the halfway stage, Glenn Phillips, when he chatted to the media, said, well, we want to wrap it up with an over to spare. You know what? They did. Let's have a look at a game which ended England's participation in the 2021 T20 World Cup. That's a mouthful. And saw New Zealand through to their third successive ICC final.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, wow. I mean, that was an incredible game. Incredible, incredible game. But did England lose that or did New Zealand win it?
England win it. Yeah, England lose it, possibly. You say at the start, it went one way or another, one way then another. And it was like, you know what? It was going all England's way for the majority of that game. I thought 166 wasn't a bad score on that wicket. In this circumstance, in this environment of semi-final scoreboard pressure, that's like 180. That's why 180 with the scoreboard pressure. And then when Guptill sort of leading edge straight to Moeen Ali, and then Kieran Williamson gets out, and you're thinking, this is going to be a canter. And for the next 10 overs, I thought it was going to be a canter. I thought England were going to win by 20 runs. And then all of a sudden, it just changed on one over, which can happen in 2020 cricket. It can, you know, we talk about, you know, small margins. You know, Chris Jordan catching the ball, hit the boundary, holding the ball at the boundary, holding, which was six. Yeah, Johnny Bairstow did the same. That would have been, if that had been a catch, that was the all-time greatest, because he was in midair when he let go of the ball to get on, you know, into Liam Livingston's hands. England took the water in under pressure later on, and somebody who you weren't expecting to do that, he struggled at the death. And Chris Jordan bowled two fantastic overs in the power play at the start, brilliant overs. You know, you look at his figures. What is it? He went for 23 in that one over, so he's gone for eight off two overs, bowling brilliantly in the power play. Then just a little bit of muddled thinking, possibly a little bit of familiarity with Jimmy Neesham, because I think they both played together at King's 11. I think when Chris Jordan was at King's 11, Jimmy Neesham was at King's 11 as well. And maybe Jordan's trying to sort of second guess somebody that he knows hits a big ball. I'm not sure what length he was trying to hit. I'm not sure what angle he was coming from. And that was the game changer. That was the over that completely changed the dynamics of the game, because there was only one way it was going. England were going to win by 20 odd runs in the end. You know, they've lost an over to spare out the competition when they've played some fantastic cricket. I still go on team selection. I still stand by what I've said on the Cricket Collective and what I've said all week. Sam Billings was always going to stick with his finger up his backside if everything went well for England in the batting department. And I just wonder if David Willey had played that angle that we had left arm, might have been another option for Owen Morgan, especially when he wasn't going to use Mo and Ali, because we were effectively down all this stuff of matchups. We were effectively down to five bowlers anyway, even though Liam Livingston bowled brilliantly. So all in all, England will be disappointed, I think, by the manner of they've gone out, because I think they've contributed to their demise in the last 35 minutes of that 2020 International World Cup semi-final. And when Owen Morgan said a week ago, when he talked about that Stokes incident against Brathwaite, saying, "I wish I had took more time. I wish I had, you know, give myself a better chance." Well, he might be just thinking exactly the same in this situation as well. So congratulations to New Zealand. They were absolutely magnificent. Brilliant to the TalkSport Cricket Collective team for getting Daryl Mitchell on the show on Tuesday, talking about how lucky it is. He says how lucky we are to play cricket in this COVID world, how much he's going to enjoy this World Cup. And boy, did he. He scratched around, a bit like Josh Butler in one of the earlier games. And then when his team needed him to come to the party with some big hits, he did. Deserves to be man of the match, deserves to be on the winning side for carrying his bat in a 2020 game, which, you know, he's got a chance to play in a World Cup final, which not many people will say that. And are these the best team? Is this the best team that's going on the planet at the minute? Well, we're one run away from winning the 50-over World Cup 2 years ago. They won the World Test Championship, and they're now in the final of the World T20. For a small population like New Zealand, it's a fantastic achievement, and they can only be congratulated.
And it's one of the reasons I love team sport. You know, I've always preferred team sport over individual pursuits, because essentially, when it's one against one, very more often than not, the best man wins or best woman wins. But that isn't the case, is it, with 11 person sport, because there's so much to do. There's so many things that you cannot essentially prepare for. And we saw that today, because with four overs to go, New Zealand needed 57 from 24 balls. And they had in Neesham a bloke who'd only faced one delivery. And at the other end, they had Daryl Mitchell, who must be up there with, you know, I said it at the start of the show, one of the most unheralded names, famous because his dad, essentially, was a rugby coach under Eddie Jones and played for New Zealand. And, you know, even in New Zealand, when they've got these, like, they've got Colin Munro, they've got Tim Seifert, they've got Tom Blundell, you know, Ross Taylor's even sitting at home, Finn Allen. You've got all these crazy, crazily talented players. And they rock up with Daryl Mitchell as their opening batsman. Now, when Neesham hit 23 from Chris Jordan's over and then carried on going for a little bit, I forgot Mitchell was even playing because all the attention was on Neesham. And as soon as Neesham went, Santner comes to the crease. Now, Santner is not a number seven in T20 cricket that you would want to be coming to the crease with 20 needed from whatever. But Mitchell, who has been picked because of his six hitting record in domestic T20 cricket, essentially, has just absolutely justified his team selection. You know, there were shades of Grant Elliott for me. I don't know if you remember the image of Grant Elliott when he pumped, I think it was Del Steyn, into the Eden Park crowd for six to reach the final of the 2015 World Cup. Similarities there, different types of player, of course, but actually, no, there are similarities. They're both middle order all rounders, essentially. Elliott, South African born, both got a bit of stubble on them. I thought it was incredible. Up until that point, that 23 run over, this was England's game. One thing I will say, though, you said that England's score was a decent one. I agree. I couldn't actually, on Talk Sport, I said, I'm not quite sure what that score is, you know, but England probably would have taken it. It was a decent score. You could see them winning the game from there. You could see them losing the game from there. But they never, ever, as far as I was concerned, ever got on top of the New Zealand bowlers. And New Zealand, I felt, weren't quite on it. You know, Glenn Phillips bowling an over. They were really concerned about the matchups. Like Sodhi bowling to Ali and Santner bowling to Milan. They didn't want either of those things to happen. They brought on Phillips. Santner hardly bowled, despite taking a wicket, I think. And then there was about four occasions when chances just dropped short of fielders. And then there was that inside edge. I thought, oh, you know, is this story going to be Devon Conway? You know, he's not a wicket keeper, but he's keeping wicket and he puts down a chance to Milan. But then I'm thinking, well, do they want Milan in? There was so much going on in that innings. But at no point did I think, yeah, England have got enough here. But of course, when Gupta and Williamson go early and they're scratching around 58 or whatever it was for two. But what really impressed me, more than anything, more than Mitchell at the end, more than Neesham in that over, more than anything, was the way that Conway and Mitchell never panicked. I kept waiting for the wicket. Seven overs in, they're so far behind, they need 11 and over. Eight overs in, they need 11 and over. Nine. Now, normally a wicket falls because the pressure gets so much. But they, in a way that we associate with the West Indies rather than a New Zealand team, they just continue to back themselves. And they didn't panic and they just kept going and kept going. Conway started to open up. He had, there was an expensive over to Mark Wood and suddenly thought, hey. And then Conway was out. And that was the moment that Neesham came in. And that 11 ball innings, depending on what happens in the final, could be the 11 balls that essentially defines Jimmy Neesham's career for the rest of his career. It was a crazy game of T20 cricket.
It was, and I look at the when you mentioned about the score, the only reason I said it was a decent score was because I thought what we've had in this tournament so far, it's been a bit power play-ish. The power play has, for the team that's won, has both come onto the bat nicely because it's hard and they've been able to get boundaries away. Neither side really got boundaries away in the power play, and I thought 166, after about three overs, you had three, four overs. New Zealand are two down. And I was thinking, right, this pitch is more difficult than what we've been used to.
Yeah, and they've only got four batsmen left, by the way.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. You've got Santner coming in at seven. And I think Mitchell understood that once Neesham had gone. I think he knew, right, I need to get a boundary away. And when he hit the first ball for six, it was like, right, I'm going again here. I'm off on one here. I'm riding this and I'm going and away he went. But I look at both sides when it comes to the ball and I just think, I understand the matchups. I really do.
Yeah.
In 2020 cricket.
Yeah.
But I also understand that your best bowler. Somebody said to me, oh, Chris Gayle's hit you for four sixes in the last three 2020 games. We're not going to bowl you front up against Chris Gayle. I'm going, don't be stupid. Either that or just leave me out of sight. What's the point of picking me? If you think I'm not good enough to bowl at this person, well, then don't pick me because And that's the thing that really annoys me with the matchups. I can understand a little bit, but your best bowlers are your best bowlers. I'm not saying Mo and Ali would have done anything different.
I totally agree. Do you know the thing I feel with stats? And look, if Jared was here, he'd come in. Stats tell you what's happened before, right?
Yeah.
And you build your argument based on what's happened before. But that isn't how sport works.
Mm.
It's not just about what's happened before. And yes, you can make... Look, if there's a right arm, if there's a batsman who has got a particular weakness, he averages, 100 against right arm fast, left arm fast, slow left arm, but averages one against leg spin. Well, obviously, you're going to chuck on the leggy. But you don't need a stats man to tell you that. But essentially, if you just go on the stats, West Indies win this tournament.
Yeah.
If you just go on the stats, India beat England 4-0 this year.
Of course they do.
Do you know what I mean? And that's the thing. Stats will tell you a lot. But essentially, if the moment that stats tell you everything, then we all give up because there's no point following the game.
I don't want to criticize. I'm not going to criticize Owen Morgan because who am I to criticize him? But I also look at how many times an all-rounder says, if I perform with a bat, give me the ball. Mo and Ali's just got 50 off 37 balls.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hasn't bowled a ball, especially when two players were getting going, like Mitchell and Conway. You've got two players getting going, and Liam Livingstone bowls, and he bowled brilliantly, to be fair. Liam Livingstone, I thought he did. Even though I think that was the sign of that was where they were going to target that fifth bowler, whether it was Livingstone and Ali, a combination of two, or Ali by himself or Livingstone by himself. And that's why they ended up having to wait and wait and wait to get at a seamer, which was an over of Wood and a big over of Jordan. But you've got Conway, who is not a big household name and played a huge amount of international cricket. You've got Mitchell, not a household name, played a huge amount of international cricket. And if you've got Mo and Ali with the ball, one of the IPL superstars of this year, in a semi-final of a World Cup, when you are miles behind the red, I'd like to think there was only one winner in that situation, and that would be Mo. So these are all little things that hindsight's a wonderful thing. And when you say hindsight's a wonderful thing on the Willie aspect, no, it's not. I'm not in this situation, because a lot of former cricketers at the start of the tournament, were saying, look, the bowling, the more bowling dominant side might be better option with no Milan in it, even though Milan played brilliantly today. But in this game, I still think if you were worried about Mo and Ali's matchup at any point, because you haven't bowled him in a... There was one game against, was it Australia, where he didn't bowl a ball. If there was at any point that Owen Morgan feel that matchup wasn't going to be in place with Mo and Ali against New Zealand and he wasn't going to bowl, they've got the team selection wrong in not picking David Willey, because you're effectively saying Mo and Ali's playing as a batsman. He's not playing as a bowler. And our fifth bowler is Liam Livingstone. Even though he bowled brilliantly, that's where I was coming from when I said right at the very outset before today that I thought Willie would have been a better option than Billings. Billings was, he touched the ball three times in the whole match. That, for me, little things, when they say, you're going on hindsight. That's not hindsight. This is, a lot of people were saying before the tournament, and especially when you lose somebody like as influential as Roy, I think you might have to cover a few more bases and make sure, if you're going to look at the matchups and they're not in your bowling favour, i.e. you're not going to bowl your off spinner, then the left arm option would have been a better case. And a good angle to not stand there and hit it, especially on this sort of surface. I've listened to Kevin Peterson talk about Ryan Sidebottom in that World T20 final in 2010. We've heard Paul Collingwood tell it. Well, we haven't heard it because it's not come out yet, but I've got a great Paul Collingwood.
It's coming next week.
It's coming. And he talks how... Yeah, the left arm option and Ryan Sidebottom was so influential. I think that's where a lot of people were going once Mills had gone. And then Roy, balance of the side, Willie might be a better option than somebody who potentially is either not going to face a ball, which has happened, or maximum going to face six balls. But like you say, hindsight, you know, a little bit of a wonderful thing. England were beaten by the better side in the end, after being, you know, heavily fancied for the majority of that cricket match.
Let's wrap up here. I mean, we'll have a moment of the day in a second, but let's just talk about this New Zealand side, because, you know, I really thought that it was going to be the experience that saw England through. Now, and let's be honest with England, they are without four of their absolute number one selections, right? They don't have their opening bat, one of their opening bat. They don't have their best all-rounder. They don't have their best left-arm fast bowler, and they don't have their best right-arm fast bowler, essentially, okay? And they still contributed to a fantastic tournament. So credit where credit's due.
Yeah, definitely. From
a New Zealand perspective, though, I mean, this team, we wrote them off before the tournament. We didn't think they'd get past the group. We thought on these pitches against the opposition that they were coming up against, it was going to be a push, a real push to just qualify for the semifinals.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So we basically did to New Zealand what everyone bloody does to New Zealand and wrote them off. And, you know, they've confounded their critics once again. But even when you look at this, you look at this 11, it just does not make any sense. And the team, or the players that have just essentially beaten England, Daryl Mitchell, Devon Conway, Jimmy Neesham, even if you have a look at the bowling scorecard, I thought Tim Southee, again, you know, stats and stats, right? All I could hear ahead of this tournament was how Adam Milne should be playing ahead of Tim Southee. Oh my days, has Tim Southee been absolutely ridiculous.
His first over today was unbelievable.
Tell me why.
First over of Tim Southee today was beautiful. He turned Josh Butler around twice.
That late away swinger. Oh,
Josh had roller skates on for two of the balls, and yeah. You're like, this is a bloke who's banged everybody out of this tournament from the first ball, and he's just met him. You know, he's just turned him around twice. First over. So it's like watching Jimmy Anderson. It's like watching Jimmy Anderson. When when Jimmy Anderson's got a red juke ball in his hand, you could have Virat Kohli, like we've seen, best player of modern generation. They can look foolish. And I'm not saying Josh looked foolish. I just thought, you know, he played down the wrong line because the ball swung with skill, pure skill. Again, comes back to having a left arm seamer in your side with David Woolley because the first over two is going to swing. But you look at this, and I agree that this New Zealand side is a unit. It's not an individual.
But it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really make sense, does it? I mean, look at that tail.
But they've got their jobs. That's the thing for me. That's the thing I like about this New Zealand side. It's you've got your jobs. So, you know, Guptill's in the team to bat. You know, Phillips is in the team to bat. Conway's in the team, he's keep wicket. Williamson's in the team to bat. The bowlers don't bat, but they're in the team to bowl. We have picked we've picked our best five bowlers, our best five batsmen, and a wicketkeeper who can bat, so our best six batsmen. You know, they've got fiddly options, but more often than not, they haven't picked a middle order who can, you know, fiddle a few overs and whack a few sixes. They've actually picked the top, their best four or five batsmen at the top, and they've picked their best three seamers, three bowling options, which would be would probably be Saudi, Bolt, and Saudi, and not one of them. Not one of them can hold a. Well, Saudi used to be, but not as much now. Not one of them can hold a bat. So you're thinking, well, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but actually it does make sense because they've got clarity of role. You do your job with a bat, and we'll do our job with a ball. Collectively together, when we're in the field, we're gonna be like demons, and we're gonna be difficult to beat. Like all New Zealand sport is, our majority of New Zealand sport is. And that's why they're in the final of the World T20, because they field brilliantly well together as a unit. You know, the togetherness in the field as a bowling unit is, you know, first class. And the batters know their understand the responsibilities and roles and clarity of role is we've got to stand up and do our jobs. You know, Gupta's done it majority of the tournament. You know, Mitchell's done it once against India, but then stood up and it counted. Williamson's one of the best T20 players in the world at batting at number three and holding an innings together. And, you know, the crackerjacks of Phillips and Neesham are the ones that are, you know, they're the six hitters. So you say it doesn't make sense, but the clarity of role, of understanding what the individuals have got to do for their team is, I think, is quite simple.
Moment of the day.
Right, we've got to get over to YouTube, so I'm going to keep this very, very brief. I'm going to ask you one question. What is Chris Jordan, when he lies in bed tonight, what is he thinking? Is the one thing that he would have done differently today?
I think possibly his first ball to Neesham from around the wicket, I think that will be the one that plays on him. The rest of it, it's pressure on his shoulders. And, you know, I've been in that situation a couple of times, bowling at the death, where the world's going at 4,000 mile an hour in my head, but it's actually going slow motion in somebody else's. And unfortunately, that first ball, if he nails that first ball, then it's a different over, because he didn't nail the first ball and it's gone into the stand. Then there's muddled thinking. And all of a sudden, no matter how many times Chris Jordan's been in that position before and done brilliantly for England in the past, your World Cup semi-final, you know, the pressure's on. And unfortunately, the first ball did him, because he landed it in the slot and it got banged out of the park. So that will be the one that will replay in his mind. Look, there's always somebody that gets the fall guy. And unfortunately today, Chris Jordan. But I would be encouraging him not to take it too much to heart. It's like having a penalty. It's like having a penalty take in a penalty shootout, bowling at the death. You stand up, you nail your job, and if you don't get it quite right, well, you know, you make sure the next time you do it, the skill sets you've got, you nail it and you get it right. He stands up and recounts every single time to bowl at the death. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And unfortunately for Chris today, he didn't. There was a better man at the other end. He'll dust himself down and be better next time. Fingers crossed.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, quick word before the end of the show. Australia, Pakistan. I mean, England, New Zealand is a game and a half. But actually, I think Australia, Pakistan, that was actually, from a neutral's perspective, that's the game I've been looking forward to the most. I mean, that is something special, isn't it? And it's actually a matchup at top level that I can't think of too many instances where those two teams have come up against each other in recent ICC events. So, that could be something special.
It's going to be a great game. It's if Australia turn up, if their batting turns up. I think Australia's bowling is quite strong and quite solid. It's whether the Australian batting turns up. Ken Warner and Finch get them off to a good start and overcome Afridi. Hassan Ali is going to play, even though he's probably not as confident as he was at the start of the tournament. We've got two very, very good spinners. I just see Pakistan being, with England, the best team in this competition. But like you said, never write the old enemy off. Never write them off. You know, they're always a force in the big tournaments. And for me, I just think Pakistan might be too strong. But I think a lot of people thought England would be too strong for New Zealand. So it's going to be a fascinating game. This game is probably going to be, for me, it was going to, like, I agree. It was the more of the one I was looking forward to in the semi-finals. because I thought England would beat New Zealand. I thought they'd beat them comfortably. But, you know, that hasn't happened. This is still going to be a great game. I just see Pakistan being too strong, especially from the power play bowling department that they possess. So, yeah, I got it wrong yesterday, or this morning, sorry, in preview. I might get it wrong from tomorrow, but I think Pakistan, for me, will get into the final against New Zealand Sunday.
Brilliant stuff, Harmy. Absolutely electric game. I hope you've enjoyed our recap here on the Following On podcast. We'll be back tomorrow following that Australia-Pakistan game. But now I think it's time for us all to have a beer, sit back and just digest on what has been an absolute classic game. Doesn't matter who you support, that was a match for the ages. And hopefully we get something similar for the second semi-final. But for now, thank you for listening to Following On.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.